and went up the walk toward the lights. The first man watched him go, and then opened the door of the Jakes. "Good God Almighty," he said. "What is it?" He didn't answer. He stepped past the other and went back up the walk. The other man stood looking after him. Then he opened the door and looked in. In the saloon they had rolled the dead bear onto a wagon sheet, and there was a general call for hands. In the anteroom the tobacco smoke circled the lamps like an evil fog, and the men bid and dealt in a low mutter. There was a lull in the dancing, and a second fiddler took the stage, and the two plucked their strings and turned the little hardwood pegs until they were satisfied. Many among the dancers were staggering drunk through the room, and some had rid themselves of shirts and jackets and stood bare-chested and sweating, even though the room was cold enough to cloud their breath. An enormous whore stood clapping her hands at the bandstand and calling drunkenly for the music. She wore nothing but a pair of men's drawers, and some of her sisters were likewise clad in what appeared to be trophies, hats or pantaloons or blue twill cavalry jackets. As the music soared up, there was a lively cry from all, and a caller stood at the front and called out the dance, and the dancers stomped and hooted and lurched against one another. And they are dancing, the board floor slamming under the jackboots, and the fiddlers grinning hideously over their canted pieces. Towering over them all is the judge, and he is naked, dancing, his small feet lively and quick, and now in double time, and bowing to the ladies, huge and pale and hairless, like an enormous infant. "He never sleeps," he says. "He says he'll never die." He bows to the fiddlers and sashays backwards and throws back his head and laughs deep in his throat. And he is a great favorite, the judge. He wafts his hat, and the lunar dome of his skull passes palely under the lamps, and he swings about and takes possession of one of the fiddles, and he pirouettes and makes a pass, two passes, dancing and fiddling at once. His feet are light and nimble. He never sleeps. He says that he will never die. He dances in light and in shadow, and he is a great favorite. He never sleeps, the judge. He is dancing, dancing. He says that he will never die. The End. Epilogue. In the dawn there is a man progressing over the plain by means of holes which he is making in the ground. He uses an implement with two handles, and he chucks it into the hole, and he enkindles the stone in the hole with his steel, hole by hole, striking the fire out of the rock which God has put there. On the plain behind him are the wanderers in search of bones, and those who do not search. And they move haltingly in the light, like mechanisms whose movements are monitored with escapement and pallet, so that they appear restrained by a prudence or reflectiveness which has no inner reality. And they cross in their progress one by one that track of holes that runs to the rim of the visible ground, and which seems less the pursuit of some continuance than the verification of a principle, a validation of sequence and causality, as if each round and perfect hole owed its existence to the one before it there on that prairie, upon which are the bones and the gatherers of bones and those who do not gather. He strikes fire in the hole and draws out his steel. Then they all move on again.
The End. You've been listening to Blood Meridian, or The Evening Redness in the West, by Cormac McCarthy, narrated by Richard Poe and directed by Greta Byram. If you've enjoyed this book and this performance, Recorded Books recommends another title by Cormac McCarthy, The Road, narrated by Tom Stepschulte. This novel marks new territory for McCarthy, a post-apocalyptic landscape where we meet a man who recalls a better world and a boy who doesn't. With all the trademarks of vintage McCarthy, a man and his young son, a blasted American landscape, sparse prose that is at once brutal and tender. The Road further cements McCarthy's stature as one of America's greatest living novelists. We also recommend Everyman by Philip Roth. This book by Philip Roth is a candidly intimate yet universal story of loss, regret, and stoicism. Taking its title from an anonymous 15th-century allegorical play, a classic of early English drama whose theme is the summoning of the living to death, the terrain of this novel is the human body. Its subject is death, the common experience that terrifies us all. You'll find a wide selection of titles in the Recorded Books catalog, including bestsellers, mysteries, classics, histories, and more. So to order another Recorded Book, or for a copy of our latest listing, please call the toll-free number found on the back of this book. Don't forget to ask about easy 30-day rentals by mail. On our website, you can browse our catalog, place orders, hear about our latest releases, or tune into narrator profiles and author interviews. So visit us there at www.recordedbooks.com. And thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.